Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
Good Thursday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening Commodity Market Report. The U.S. Surface Transportation Board ruled on Wednesday that all Class 1 railroads must report detailed freight service statistics weekly, a decision that cited months of congestion that has hit the grain and power industries especially hard. The rail regulator will also require the 7 Class 1 carriers operating in the U.S. to jointly report a narrative summary of operating conditions at the Chicago Gateway, a busy rail hub that is a choke point in the national network. Crop forecaster Landworth raised its forecasts for U.S. 2014 corn and soybean production yesterday. Landworth raised its corn yield estimate to 175.5 bushels per acre from 174.9 on September 29th. The firm pegged U.S. corn production at 14.647 billion bushels. For soybeans, Landworth raised its forecast for the U.S. yield to 47.9 BPA versus 47.1 previously, and estimated soybean production at 3.947 billion bushels. USDA will weigh in with its estimates tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. This morning, USDA reported its latest export sales report for the week ending October 2nd. The numbers look like this in millions of bushels. Wheat this year, 13.7. Corn, 30.9. And soybeans, 33.9. And for next year, soybeans, negative 0.8. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is trading 16,864, down 39 points. The NASDAQ, 4,027, down 3.25. And the S&P 500 is 1956. It is down 5.25 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Most of the Midwest is facing another wet period of time, and we are expecting the first round to move quickly across the lower parts of the Midwest. Rain is falling at this hour from portions of eastern Kansas into central and southern Illinois and parts of Indiana. As we go through the day today and tomorrow, we'll see rain widespread from this corridor into central and southern portions of Ohio and southward into Kentucky as well. We don't expect much rain to occur in Michigan or the northern fringes of Illinois, Indiana, or Ohio. Now, there may be a few spotty showers in some of those areas, but I don't expect the precipitation to have much meaning. The majority of this first wave of precipitation will be light to moderate. We'll look for amounts running about a half inch to an inch, maybe a local inch and a half will occur across this corridor. And then after that, we'll see somewhat drier weather for a brief period of time on Saturday going into Sunday. But there will still be some scattered showers across parts of the lower Midwest. As we go into the Sunday through Tuesday period, a new storm system that is expected to be somewhat aggressive will work its way from eastern Kansas and Missouri to Michigan, Ohio, and eventually Kentucky. So the two waves combined will likely result in 1 to 3 and local 4-inch amounts of rainfall for parts of Missouri and parts of Illinois, while we'll see rain totals elsewhere running from about 7 or 8 tenths of an inch upwards to about an inch and a half. There may be some locally greater amounts, but for the most part, the rains will be a little bit less intensive outside of Missouri and Illinois. Portions of Indiana have already been too wet, as have other areas nearby in the parts of the lower Midwest. These two rain events coming up are going to maintain the wet conditions, and my guess is the crop environment is going to be poor for Indiana, parts of central and southern Illinois, and Missouri until we get to the first part of next week. Drier weather is expected to be involved across most of the Midwest as we go into Wednesday through Friday of next week, and some of the western Corn Belt areas areas will already be seeing drier weather on Tuesday. In fact, even on Monday in some areas in the western Corn Belt. All the while, this wet weather is going on in the central and eastern parts of the Midwest. There will be a considerable amount of dryness that will likely occur from Iowa, Nebraska, northward into the Dakotas, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. Now, these areas may go about 10 days without a major rain event, but there will be a couple of weak frontal boundaries that will cut across the region and probably produce a little bit of precipitation, but not much that would be seriously setting back in the field work. We do anticipate the temperatures to be a little bit cooler across the Midwest for a little while. Highs in the 50s and 60s will occur these next couple of days. In fact, on into the heart of the weekend, I would expect. We will look for the temperatures to start warming again after the second storm system abates from the region. So for these next several days, 50 and 60 degree highs will be common. Lows at night will be in the 40s and 50s. There will be some 30s, even a couple of upper 20s that will occur in the northwesternmost parts of the Midwest. As we get into the middle and latter parts of next week, a ridge of high pressure will build up across the middle of the country that should bring warmer air to many areas from the plains into the heart of the Midwest, with temperatures back into the 60s and 70s in a big part of the Midwest, maybe some 70 and 80 degree readings from the central plains southward. In fact, speaking of the central plains, some of the hard red winter wheat country will see enough rainfall today and tomorrow to improve the emergence and establishment of recently planted wheat in Kansas, portions of Oklahoma, and Colorado. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Join us November 24th for our first ever WILL Egg Farm Assets Conference at the Marriott Hotel on the Illinois State University campus in Normal, Illinois. Our on-air analysts will be all there talking about corn, soybeans, and cash grain marketing, and we've lined up experts from the U of I College of ACES to take up farmland values, crop insurance, and the ARC-PLC decision. The cost is $25 and includes lunch and parking in the hotel parking garage. Get your tickets now at 800-898-1065. Or on our secure website at willag.org. That's WILLAG.org.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Let's see how futures are trading. Hard red winter December wheat, 585 down 1.5. Soft December, 501.5 down 6.25. December corn, 344 up 3/4. July, 373.5 up 1/4. November soybeans, 940.5 up 5.5. July, 972 up 4.25. October soybean meal, 334.80 up $5. October soybean oil, 33 up 12. October live cattle, 166.80 up 70. October feeders, 243.95 up 162.5. October lean hogs, 109.50 up 137.5. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Ellen Dearden of Ag Review, and she is in Morton, Illinois. Good morning, Ellen.
Good morning to you, Dave.
Well, the rain will keep people from harvesting over much of the Corn Belt in the next couple of days, and we have reports tomorrow, so there'll be a lot of focus there.
Yeah, there sure will be, and the trade's pretty convinced there's going to be some kind of a surprise, and the leanings are towards not much of a rise in the yield projections for both corn and beans. And maybe a decrease in harvested acres on both of those. But again, I think the market is looking for a surprise.
Could be that they don't report anything in the harvested acres because FSA has not put the penalties on people for late reporting, so we may not find out anything until January.
I think that's probably a good assumption. There's not a whole lot of reason to report acres if there is no penalty.
So what about the marketplace today then?
I think we'll see a good deal of choppy action probably to both sides of yesterday's close. It'll be interesting to see whether November beans can go up above this 943, that's first resistance, and take another look at Tuesday's high, which was 955. The market wants to work higher. The meal certainly has caught fire a little bit in here with lack of deliveries in the products. Wheat may be a little bit of a drag, even though if we see a slowdown in harvesting and it looks like the southeast part of the Corn Belt's going to stay the wettest, soft red winter wheat acres may have a hard time getting planted.
Could catch-up marketers consider putting some orders in just above the market with the idea that maybe we'll have a knee-jerk to the positive side tomorrow?
Yeah, I think that's a good bet. I've been looking at selling some of these deferred months to try to sell the carry, selling the July, and I'm actually buying some December 15 corn against that.
Thank you much, Ellen. Ellen Dearden of Ag Review, and she is in Morton, Illinois. December corn now 345 and a half, up 2 1/4. March 358 and a quarter, up 1 3/4. May 367, up 1 3/4. And July 374 and a half, up 1 1/4. November soybeans 941 3/4, up 6 3/4. January 949 3/4, up 6 1/4. May 966 1/4, up 5 3/4. And July soybeans are trading 973, up 5 1/4. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's now 9:01 Central Time.